Ramsey TV.
Following my comments yesterday, well, not my comments, but my reading of a portion of the Declaration of Independence, which here in America declared our independence from England back in 1776, someone asked me about the Second Amendment, which is, it's an amendment to the Constitution which defends our right to keep and bear arms, like guns. The reason that is in their Constitution is so we can protect ourselves from our own government, should our own government go bad. I've heard politicians say that, well, why do these people so anxious to keep their weapons, and why do they need big guns? Why do they need automatic rifles? Why do they need, you know, basically weapons of war? You don't need a automatic rifle to kill a deer. Well, these people are kind of dumb because they don't realize that we don't have the Second Amendment to kill deer. We have it to kill you. You. So, yeah, that's why the U.S. citizens, we have like military-grade weapons. I don't have any personally, but I definitely agree that we... Any citizenry that gives up its weapons can be just taken over by anybody. That's why there's a party in our country, the left, who wants to get rid of weapons. Why? Because they're the ones who, they want to take over the people and control them. We won't let them have our guns. So anyway, that explains that a little bit. As for the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego story, it's got a happy ending. Well, except for the people who threw them in. The king heated he was so ticked off that he heated the fiery furnace 7 times the usual heat. And it was so hot that the dudes who tossed these 3 Hebrew guys in, they got killed by the fire. Oopsie, I think you overdid it there, Nebuchadnezzar. But of course, we know that there was a 4th person wandering in the fiery furnace. It was the Son of God. And the fire did not hurt our boys, our heroes, and they came out unscathed. They weren't even smelling of smoke. Their hair was unsinged, let alone they were alive. I mean, so it was a great thing. God is able to preserve. God's able to do anything he wants. Everything's under control. You know, he controls the income and outflow of money. So I always say it. God has the access to all the riches on the earth. And if he wanted to give it to you, he would. Nothing could stop it. If he doesn't want you to have it, there's a reason. It's not because he can't do it. It's the better part of wisdom to keep it from you. So that's why. God purposely keeps the curse of being rich from us, because it is a curse. Ask people who have money, a lot of money. They say it's a curse. It carries its own pains, Paul says, 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love of money is the root of all evils. Those who pursue it, they try themselves on all sides with great pain. So today I'm going to tell you the story of Roger. I've told this story before, but I think it's probably been over 2 years since I've told you about Roger. This is my annual, it's biannual, twice a year, every 2 years. Anyway, Roger is a great lesson, an object lesson on the timing of God. And here's how it goes. I had Bible studies at my house in 1994, 1995. They were well attended. We had like 10 to 15 people, I suppose, every day. I, you know, started this work in 1993, the fall of, and people would hear about it by word of mouth. So one day we had this guy come in named Roger, and he used to be kind of the Pentecostal persuasion. He was listening to us. He was interested. He had a friend that was coming over, and the friend told him, you need to come over here to this guy's house. They're talking about stuff you never heard before, you know. So he comes over, and he was learning a few things about the timing of God. We were talking about how God does different things at different times. Some people call this administrationalism. I hate it. Or dispensationalism. I hate that term. Hate it. it's just a fact that God does different things at different times. So when he heard this, this Roger guy told us a tale, a story, a true story. He said he was at a funeral. And the recently deceased was at the head of the table, so to speak, at the front of the church in a casket, an open casket, strange enough. And Roger said he felt as though he heard the word of God come to him. And the word of God said to Roger, "Rise up out of your pew." Must have been a Catholic church. He was in a pew. "Rise up, put your hands over the dead body, and command it to raise from the dead." This is a true story. So Roger, thinking that he had heard the word of the Lord, went, got up in the middle of the service, and he went over to the corpse. He put his hands, maybe not on the corpse, but over the corpse in a dramatic fashion. Right? And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up out of the coffin." This is absolutely true story. Well, the corpse, lacking several vital organs, refused to cooperate. Nothing happened. So Roger, thinking that perhaps it was a volume problem, said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise from the coffin." Well, apparently it wasn't a volume problem. It was basically a death problem, but the corpse again stubbornly refused to cooperate, which with Roger's demands that he thought were from God. But he was not finished, he said, because, well, do you remember, Elijah versus the prophets of Baal? And they had a contest up on Mount Carmel to see whose God was real, Baal or the God of Elijah. And Elijah said, you guys go first. And the contest was to call down fire upon an altar. They each had a sacrifice on an altar. Call down fire. Whoever answers the call, that's the true God. So the prophets of Baal went first, and they did their incantations, and they waved their arms, and they called upon Baal, and nothing happened. Nothing. It was like nobody's home. So Elijah stood by. He was mocking them. He said, why don't you pray a little louder? Maybe Baal's on vacation. He really did. Check it out, you know. So they did. They actually followed his advice. So this is what Roger was doing, thinking it was a volume problem. But then Elijah continued to goad the prophets of Baal. And he kept saying things like, "Well, maybe you're not doing it right. Maybe you're not loud enough. Maybe you need to dance this way or do that." Well, Roger thought that maybe the problem was intonation. Maybe he wasn't sincere enough. So he did the Baptist thing. We all know that this is the height of spirituality when your voice gets shaky and you say something like, "In the name of Jesus." We all know how spiritual that is. The prophets of Baal tried that too. They cried on Baal. Still didn't work. Well, it didn't work with Roger either. He tried that. "In the name of Jesus." Didn't work. Do you remember the part of the Grinch where when the Grinch tries to steal Christmas from the Whos down in Whoville, he slinks on the floor stealing their ornaments and the presents. He kind of slinks like a snake. Well, this is what Roger did back to his pew after the corpse stubbornly refused to cooperate. You see, the corpse was smarter than Roger because the corpse realized that God was doing a different thing now than he was doing in the book of Acts, early in the book of Acts when the apostles were doing miracles. God was doing a different thing than he was doing back in the days when Israel came out of Egypt and food miraculously appeared on the ground and quail fell from the sky and water came out of rocks. Clothes didn't get old. even in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when God supernaturally protected people from fire. He can do it. But like the Hebrew boys said, our God can do it, and we don't know if he will do it. If he does do it, I guess good for us. If he doesn't, we're off in a puff of smoke, but we'll be back, and you'll be sorry that you've done this, you moron. So it's all in God's timing. It's all in God's timing. So the corpse knew that this was not the day of the today. In the age of grace, Roger attempted this insane feat sometime in the 80s. The 1980s, not the aught 80s. So wasn't the right time. And the corpse knew it. The corpse said, no way I'm going to get up out of here. It's not the right time. It's not the right time. This isn't the age of miracles. This is the age of faith. So Roger slunk like the Grinch back to his seat. And we asked him at the Bible study, were you embarrassed? Yeah, he was absolutely mortified. So this launched a lesson on the timing of God and God doing different things at different times. And so I'm bringing this lesson to you today using poor Roger. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. The problem is that people aren't discerning when they read the scriptures. There's a verse in the Bible that says, build an ark, make it out of gopher wood. All right? Is anybody today, or there probably are, maybe Roger's, after failing with the corpse, I haven't talked to him lately, maybe he went to try to build an ark, went to the Bible, just opened it up and picked his, you know, closed his eyes, spun the Bible around five times, poked his finger, whatever it says he's going to do. Go thou and build an ark. There was a time to build an ark. This is not the time. One rule of scriptural interpretation is you have to look at who God is talking to, when he's talking to them. Those are two great rules. If you can just put those two in place, you're going to go far in the scriptures. Who's he talking to? Noah. When is he saying it? In a time when he's announcing that he's going to destroy the world except for eight people. It's a good time to build an ark. Great time to build an ark. There was a time to take your turtle doves and your sheep and your little lambies and goats to Jerusalem for the feasts. Now is not that time because Israel's on hold. And so that whole temple system is on hold. And yet we have people want to be Israelites. I know one of the groups is the Worldwide Church of God. They tried to imitate the feasts. The problem is, instead of going to Jerusalem, they went to the Poconos, or they went to the Caribbean, or they went to some fancy resort somewhere. Ooh, I think you're supposed to go to Jerusalem for that business, but they didn't. Well, they were out of season, out of time with what God was doing. Many people point to me about Peter in the book of Acts. When the priest told him, stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and Peter said, and I think John was with him on this, well, you know, we're going to obey God and not man, so they defied the authorities. Today is a different administration, and we're not to defy the authorities. For all my talk about, you know, bearing arms and overthrowing and evil governments, I personally can't do it. I wouldn't do it. Because I'm under Paul in Romans 13:1, who says, be subject to the superior authorities. Peter wasn't under that then. Why? Because Paul hadn't even been called yet, let alone written the book of Romans. But if you look later in Peter's letters, he says, be subject to kings. Yeah, so Peter changed his mind. Well, he didn't change his mind. He realized that he was under a new administration and that the kingdom had receded into a distant time in the future. There was a time to teach the gospel, so-called, the gospel that Jesus heralded on earth. There was a time to teach it only to Israelites and not go to the lost, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to anywhere else. At that time, there was only one gospel. So if people think there's still only one gospel, if they were consistent and they want to follow the words of Jesus, then they wouldn't teach this gospel to anyone but Israelites. But they're inconsistent because they're confused. They don't understand that, for one thing, another gospel has come that has temporarily taken the front seat, and this other gospel is in abeyance. It can still be believed. It actually can still be heralded. It actually can and is heralded, but it's inconsistently heralded, because really it shouldn't be heralded to the world at large. Even now should be heralded to the Israelite types, to have them hang on to their promises, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So whenever I hear today of anybody like raising the dead, somebody told me, it was actually in Florida 5 years ago, I was visiting. Somebody was doing ministry somewhere in the Philippines, and they were raising the dead, or so they said. Anybody raising the dead today, I think it can happen, but they're doing it by black arts. God is not doing that today. God can do it, but just like the Hebrew boys, he can do it, but will he do it? No, he will not do it, because today is a day of walking by faith, not by perception. In Paul's day, in Paul's gospel, and we see Paul's career unfolding in the book of Acts. At first, he is doing miracles. Personal belongings of his are passed on to people, and they're being healed of diseases. Paul raises somebody from the dead when the guy fell out of the balcony when Paul went long in his sermon and his teaching. Not a sermon. What the hell am I talking about? Not a sermon. Paul was teaching and was full of it. Couldn't stop, and this guy fell asleep, fell down. Paul raised him from the dead. But it doesn't happen anymore. Paul later tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. If I was Timothy, I would have said, hey, why don't you just mail me, you know, your toothbrush, and I'll get healed of my problems. There's another guy, Epaphras, or is it Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus sounds like something you get. What's the matter? I got Epaphroditus. Paul says, I left him sick in Miletus. Why didn't you heal him, Paul? Because Paul, if you look at Paul's career in the book of Acts, it goes from glory to glory. And you would think, when you hear Paul's ministry going from glory to glory, you would think that means it goes from a few miracles to a lot of miracles. But that's not how it is. Because there's much greater glory in faith without seeing. Jesus Christ, our own Savior, said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So it's much better to not see this stuff. You can be thankful if you haven't seen anything or heard anything or seen any miracles. I haven't seen any miracles except the common miracles, like, you know, coffee, things like that. You can add hot water to certain beans and it produces this stuff, this beautiful black material here, liquid called coffee. If I'm not careful, I'm going to pour it all over my keyboard. So I love being in sync with God. You have to see what he's doing now. You have to look in the Word of God and be discerning and realize that there are different administrations in the Bible. God does different things at different times. There's a time for law. There's a time for building an ark. There's a time for heralding only to Jews. There's a time for miracles. There's a time for no miracles. There's a time for walking by faith, not perception. Now, the day of miracles is going to return when the body of Christ leaves the scene and Israel's back on the front lines in the front seat, but that this is not that day, but that day is coming soon. And we see a lot of demonic activity anticipating that day, and Satan is doing many counterfeit miracles. That's what he does. He's a liar, he's a faker. So he's going to make it look like this is the time, but it's not yet. That's why I don't trust miracles. I don't trust when people tell me this God did this. I'm going to take the tack of the Hebrew kids. God can do it, but does he do it? Today, no. Today is the day of false miracles, of false signs. God's sending them an operation of deception. False miracles. There it is, right in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, one of the Thessalonians. I'll put the verse down here. This is the day when God is putting out an operation. God himself is putting out an operation of deception for them to believe the lie. I'll close with this. Don't be trying to raise people from the dead today. It's not the time. Unfortunately, you have to leave them there, put them in the tomb. It sucks, I know, but there's a resurrection. It'll be a legitimate resurrection. Don't be making a fool of yourself and going up there and telling the corpse to get up out of the coffin. I'm just giving you fair warning. If you hear a voice, it's not God's voice, okay? It's either your own voice or it's the voice of Satan. Don't follow it. It's not the time. When it is the time, you won't have to intonate. You don't have to go, in the name of the Lord. There won't be any drama necessary. I remind you that back in the day, Peter's shadow would fall on people and they would be healed. Crippled people would get up and walk. And Peter himself had to turn around and go, what the hell's going on back here? Your shadow fell on that guy. Peter goes, really? Wow, that's cool. See, it's unconscious. That's how easy miracles will happen when it's time for them. You see, these idiots today in the Pentecostal world are on television. They have great dramatics, great effort, and they get in circles, and it's like, we rebuke the devil. We, in the name of God, it's all BS. You don't have to do that when it's legitimate. You just say, and it happens. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't get all excited. He didn't work it up. In the name of myself. It's ridiculous. Like I say, when it's time for it, it's easy. It's easy. So now, what's easy? Just believe God. Believe in God. Not seeing anything, it's very easy. My life is a lot simpler when I don't see angels, when I don't hear voices, when I don't have crazy dreams. I love it. My life is very simple. I dream about, you know, people from school. Back in grade school, I dream about my parents every other night. I don't have these spiritual dreams that I have to interpret or wonder what they mean. No, I don't hear voices. I have to wonder where they're coming from. Maybe I'm picking up a FM station in my fillings, for all I know. I don't know. But what I do know is I know what administration I'm in. I'm in the administration of the grace of God, and I'm in the administration of faith, not perception.